Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. My name is Paul Segretto, CEO of Franchise Foundry, a proud sponsor of Social Geek Radio. Now, if you're really ready to geek it out, I'd like to introduce you to Social Geek Radio's hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Monson.
Good evening. This is Deb Evans here in Texas.
And Jack Monson of Minolto, Inc., coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee today. How are you, Deb?
I'm doing well. And I love hearing you say Minolto. That's great.
Yeah.
Happy to hear you that you're in Nashville this week.
Yeah, Nashville, Tennessee, great spot for a lot of digital marketing agencies and franchise systems. So it's a great place to be, and glad to be back in Nashville. Also, the home of the very first FranTech or Fran Campus, if you'll recall.
That's
back
right.
In what was that? 2000.
I don't know. It was about 4 years ago.
2011,
yeah.
Something like that.
I think it was 2010. Yep.
I think it was more than 2 years ago. We just say back in the old days, but
back in the days, yes, back in the day when social media.
Right, but glad to be back in Nashville, and I'll use my line about Nashville that I always use when I'm here, because I saw it again today. When you're in Nashville, you see something that you don't see anywhere else. When you see someone in any other city in America carrying a guitar, especially if it's a guy, you can assume he's just trying to impress someone. When you see somebody in Nashville carrying a guitar, he's on his way to work. So,
you know, I've been in Nashville a couple of times. I'm going to have to really look. I don't know that I've.
You do. You just see guys carrying guitars, and it's like, oh, they're on their way to work. So, you know, good for them. So glad to be back and glad to be with you on what will be our final Social Geek Radio episode of 2014.
That's right. I didn't think about it that way. But yes, we not long ago did our 200th episode, and tonight will be the last one for the year. So we might throw in some replays of our top fun, most listened shows just for giggles next week. I think I have
Excellent.
A couple that I might like to do a replay on.
Okay.
So in the franchising world, you know, we're coming down to the wire at the end of the year. We got some franchise events coming up. I've been busy doing some Google Hangouts to help promote the different IFA sessions and events, and we never fail to mention that we've got a tweet out that's going to be held in Las Vegas.
Absolutely. It will be, let's see, what's the official date? The 14th of February, Valentine's Day, actually. That's Saturday this year, sort of the eve before the IFA convention kicks off, and we'll be doing a tweet up live at the West Wing, which is inside the MGM Grand Las Vegas. So swing on by around 7 o'clock or so and chat with some franchise industry folks and some digital marketing folks, do a little networking before the big event starts, and hope to see everyone there.
Yes, it'll be lots of fun, lots of things going on in Vegas, but before we actually meet up in Vegas, we will have a IFA event here in Houston on February 5th through the 7th, the Houston Franchise Expo. So I think we will probably bring Social Geek Radio live from downtown Houston that night.
Excellent. Yes,
yeah.
I will be there as well. So yeah, let's definitely plan on doing the live broadcast there and meeting up with some of our franchise friends from all across Texas and other parts of the country as well. So
very
glad
good.
To be coming back to the Franchise Expo South this year.
Fun. Now, one of the things in franchising, and not just in franchising, but in social media in general, I've seen a lot of is, you know, this crowdfunding. So tonight we're going to talk with Bill Corrales, who's going to tell us all about the pros and the cons about crowdfunding, and he and his team have been working really hard on a new cartoon series, and I've taken a peek at it. You can find it on the YouTube, but we're going to let Bill tell us a little bit about the series, how it developed, and how you actually start a crowdfunding campaign. So, Bill, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you both. And I know it seems like you guys are doing a lot of fun traveling between Texas, Nashville. I mean, you probably pick up some of those peanut butter and banana sandwiches for me. I hear they're pretty good.
I know, just the place.
Cool. So now you're using Indigo or Indiegogo. Is that how I say it?
Yes. Indiegogo. It's one of the major crowdfunding platforms. There's a few major ones, one of which Kickstarter, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about, GoFundMe, which I'm not too familiar with, but from what I'm hearing, it's very similar. And then, of course, Indiegogo, which is the platform that we're using. There's some personal reasons as to why we're preferring Indiegogo for our specific campaign. Basically, what we're working on right now is a cartoon series called Sketches. It's made by Stephen Chitty, who has been working on a lot of cool projects. Mainly what we're trying to do is focus on his own cartoon, and there's a lot of potential there. We like his art style. It's really a nod to those classic 1990s Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network shows. I kind of see like a hint of, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Rocko's Modern Life or Angry Beavers or Hey Arnold. There's like a little bit of in this type of style, and you know, that's kind of what we grew up on, and we're kind of bringing it back. You know, it's going to be a really type of family-friendly thing with a few jokes that, you know, may go over the kids' heads and the parents might catch, and it's really something for the whole audience. We're really excited about this one, so we decided, you know, we'll put the time into it. We'll get an Indiegogo campaign going, you know, have some really fun perks, which is, quite frankly, you know, where we spent most of our time, you know, developing and figuring out pricing and all that fun stuff. We could get into that a little later. As of right now, we're sitting pretty. We've raised over $1,000 so far. We still got about, I want to say, 20 some odd days left to go before the campaign ends. It'll end in 2015. Maybe by the time you guys do your next episode, because it's an honor to be the last one of 2014 to be on here with you guys. But, you know, our campaign will be wrapping up by then, and we'll be moving on, working on the first episode, and getting it.
What's the long term plan with that, Bill? Is this a limited series, the Sketches animated series, or is this sort of got a longer term that you have planned out?
Oh, we're definitely shooting for the long term with this one, but basically we just wanted to get the equipment to be able to establish, you know, a long-term series, you know, get this off the ground. And basically what this crowdfunding campaign was for was just for the pilot episode. But we anticipate that we're going to be having episode 2, episode 3, we're going to have, you know, quite a few episodes, but also at the same time work on other projects after the pilot episode's finished. But, yeah, definitely this is going to be a long-term thing. But the reason why we're saying it'll be a long-term thing is because the main piece that we've been raising money for Stephen Chitty, the main animator, the main creator of the show, is a brand new drawing tablet. For any of you folks who know anything about animation, it's that these digital drawing tablets are really freaking expensive. And for somebody who is trying to get some of the best stuff he could use, you know, it costs a pretty penny. So basically right now we're at the point where we could actually afford to get Stephen a, you know, refurbished, you know, really top of the line tablet. And that was really goal number one, the biggest goal. We pretty much already hit that, but you know, we still got a ways to go. We're still trying to work in some more factors into, you know, our crowdfunding. And hopefully if we, you know, move further along in the fundraising, we'll be able to take care of a few other things. But yeah, milestone one is out of the way, and that's like the big sigh of relief, because that means we could, we really have the biggest tool we need. So, big sigh right there.
So, how did you actually get started? I mean, I guess, you know, somebody's listening and they're saying, okay, I really want to start this project, and I'm going to go out there and hit these crowdfunding sites. How difficult is it to... Is it an application process? I mean, how do you go about this?
It's really not that difficult. It's really not that difficult, surprisingly, because, I mean, if you have just, you know, a sense of using a lot of these media websites, a lot of these are built to be very intuitive, very simple. They don't want to lose you along the process and, you know, kind of scare you away by making things too complicated. all you really need to do is just follow it. There's got to be about 3 or 4 pages of steps that you need to do. You add your content. You could add pictures. You could add videos. You know, you have to establish what your perk prices are if you're going to be, you know, collecting funds through PayPal or through a bank account or both. And you just get all that stuff set up. And when you're finally ready to launch your campaign, when you feel like your page is going to be looking very good and, you know, you feel confident, you're ready to go, or if you have certain timing constraints that you want to deal with, you don't have to launch your campaign until you officially press that launch button. Then, boom, the clock's ticking. You're ready to roll. You know, it's going to be out there, and people will be able to see it all over the web. You know, anybody browsing through, you know, Kickstarter or Indiegogo, they'll come across your project. And if they think it's something that they, you know, want to, you know, be a part of, or if they really want a certain perk or something like that, I know a lot of inventors, you know, have prototypes of their products, and they say, well, I really want that. You have your audience right away. Like, you have your market already established for you based on, you know, if you're meeting your goals in fundraising. So, but like, it's very simple to use. Didn't take us too long, but we spent a lot of time focusing on our actual page because we had to draw a lot of, you know, we had to get Stephen to draw a lot of images to fit on our page. If you've gone through the Sketches Indiegogo campaign page, you'll see, you know, all these different pictures of all the characters. We took a lot of time. We wanted to make sure that we did it the way we wanted it to look, and that's really where a majority of the time was. As far as putting in the content and everything, it's so easy to use on the website. You just have to know what you want. You know, you have to know what you want on that page, and once you have that going, you're all set.
And where exactly are you driving people to take a look at the content? Is it a landing page specifically for the people who are looking at funding? Or where are you sending people to check out Sketches?
Well, they give you your own separate link, you know, basically the direct link to your specific crowdfunding page through the website. And also, too, for people who, you know, have no idea that this thing even exists, they have the option to just go straight to one of these, you know, crowdfunding websites and click browse. And it's all based on different categories. Say, you know, and I know a lot of folks who are in the film industry and they've done crowdfunding for their films. Well, you know, if you want to be, say, an associate producer of a film, that's usually the type of perk that you get if you donate certain amounts of money to, you know, film. So, okay, that's kind of what I want to do. I'm going to be going into the film section on Indiegogo.com and browsing through, okay, this doesn't look good, this doesn't look good. Oh, this one looks good. You click on it, you see what, you watch the video, because, you know, about 80-90% of these campaigns have a video that's about 2 to 5 minutes, typically. Just, you know, you get to meet the person who's, you know, in charge of the campaign, or meet, you know, an important person on the campaign, and you get to, you know, hear them talk about what the campaign's about. Sometimes you get to see the product, or you see the service, or you see like a piece of, you know, what they're filming or something like that. Like, we personally used a little test animation piece, you know, fully colored, fully animated, fully voiced, you know, background music, everything, so people could see how the animation looks. And you could get as creative as you want with the videos. You can make them as simple as you want. It just depends on, you know, what you think is going to work. And, you know, sometimes it's really tough to gauge your audience, but if you have enough, I mean, if you guys have the resources to do a little bit more market research than, you know, say a bunch of, you know, kids just out of college, then yeah, you know, you should be pretty successful in that regard.
Phil, what was sort of the spark that drove you guys to doing crowdfunding as opposed to doing other types of, you know, looking for other types of investors? You were talking about needing the tablet, which was an expensive piece of equipment, but what drove you to crowdfunding as opposed to, you know, going to the typical lender, bank, you know, investor,
yeah,
uncle, or, you know, other places?
Well, yeah, exactly. The crowdfunding kind of works in two positive ways. One, you know, obviously you could raise the money that you need, but two, you're making your future audience, or, you know, your future customer feel like they're part of what you're doing. And on that level, like, say, for example, because, I mean, we helped out with a prior campaign for my friend Scott Tepperman from Ghost Hunters International, you know, raising money for one of his movie campaigns. And people were so excited when they, you know, paid for that perk level to have their name and the special thanks on the credits, so they could say to everyone, well, you know, here's a movie that I'm a part of because I gave them some backing, I gave them some capital. It gets them talking about it. It gets them excited about it, and it makes them think about it. rather than just, you know, you click buy it once, you know, oh, that's kind of cool, you know, and maybe the project already has all the funding, but you're not having your audience, you know, feel that connection that, you know, hey, I'm not only am I financially invested in this, I'm emotionally invested in it because, you know, X, Y, and Z reasons. So it kind of works good in two different ways. And that's the one thing that we personally like about crowdfunding is that, you know, our backers are also, in a way, a part of this project. And,
sure.
You know, and sometimes that's the way you want to go.
Sure. And I love that idea, too, that even the folks that weren't backing the project financially, but maybe they were considering it or they took a look at it in the early stages or something like that, you're already building an audience. So you're doing some sort of pre-release marketing to people who could also be potential investors.
Oh, exactly. And that's the biggest thing because, I mean, some products you may not, you know, be successful in terms of crowdfunding. And you say, okay, maybe we need to go back and tweak a few things. Maybe something's not clicking with our target audience. And crowdfunding does that. I mean, with this type of thing, you can't be afraid to fail. You can't be afraid to not meet your goal. You know, you're never going to know until you click that launch button and you see, you know, how excited people get about it, you know, but also who's actually willing to go that extra step and not only, you know, put some money into it, but on top of that, you know, just, you know, get the parts that they want or actually feel invested enough that they want to put money into your product or your service. So, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it just works. It works in so many different dimensions.
Excellent. So you were mentioning that there were some things about the source that you were going through as opposed to some of the others out there. What did you like the most about this and what was sort of involved in that choice?
Oh, yeah, definitely. As far as Indiegogo is concerned, we prefer this one because of the fact that we're kind of feeling a little bit more flexible with, you know, our campaign. I think our goal was set for around $7,000. It would have been nice to get $7,000 over the course of the campaign, but at the same time, you know, we really just want to hit that $1,000 threshold. So with Indiegogo, we can do what they call a flexible funding campaign, in which case, you know, say if you don't meet that goal, you still get the money that people had put into it. You know, you still have to give them their perks and you know, whatever they paid for. And that's great. But, you know, you're still able to take whatever money that people felt like, you know, donating to your project, and you're able to still work on your project, you know, even if you don't hit the major goal that you set. The thing with Kickstarter, on the other hand, is there's no option for a flexible campaign. If you meet your goal, you get the money. If you don't meet the goal, everybody gets their money back, and that's it. So it's a hit or miss. So say if if your goal was $5,000 and you raised $4,800, you'd be able to start your project. You know, maybe you could find another $200 somewhere, but if that deadline hits and you don't hit that 5,000 mark, money's gone. That's it.
Mm.
You're back down to zero. So because of that and because of how flexible our campaign was, we said, yeah, we're okay, you know, leaving it at a flexible campaign. You know we may not hit, you know, our major, major goal of, you know, the full $7,000, but, you know, it was a better call for us in this situation. Sometimes if you know that you're going to need this full amount to do what you need to do, and if, say, you aren't able to raise that full amount, you can't do what you want to do, then obviously a flexible funding campaign isn't going to work because you're not going to be able to follow through with the project. So in different situations, you know, it'll call for a flexible campaign versus a fixed campaign. And Kickstarter is great with the fixed campaigns, but no question. And in terms of people browsing and coming across it without, you know, you having to, you know, share the links and spread all around, I think Kickstarter is better when it comes to people just kind of stumbling on your project, because I feel like Kickstarter gets more attention, gets more, you know, day-to-day browsers than Indiegogo.
Yeah, people are already there sort of just browsing and seeing, you know, and maybe not even looking for something to invest in or something to fund, but just looking for some cool content.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you're trying to get, you know, if you're just trying to get the word out there as well, I feel like you get more exposure out of Kickstarter, you know,
sure,
in just comparison. Indiegogo is kind of a close second. I mean, we've seen, you know, tons of successful Indiegogo campaigns. Don't get me wrong, but
We had a recent, I was part of a video game campaign that was called You Are Not the Hero. It was one of those RPG, you know, kind of, yeah, it was a computer game that they're going to, it was greenlit on Steam and all that stuff. It was, you know, uh-huh. It's going to be a very exciting game. They weren't asking for that much, you know, I mean, in terms of making a video game, it was a few $1,000s, you know, because it was on Kickstarter, because something just clicked with the audience. And, you know, a lot of people were just spreading the word like wildfire. Because it was a really fun concept for the game. They did a great video. I did the voiceover for the video on that one. It was just a really funny video. And they ended up raising over $90,000 on Kickstarter alone. And then after the campaign ended,
wow.
They still raised a few thousand more through, you know,
wow.
PayPal donations and stuff afterwards. But that's the thing with these crowdfunding websites. You don't know, you know, once you click, okay, here's what I think that I need. It could be a runaway hit, and you get a ton more money than you think, or it's not a success at all, and you just don't collect the, you know, what you thought you'd be able to make, and you know, you call it a day, you get go back to the drawing board, and you try again, you know, but you can't, you know, it's one of those things where if you feel like you got nothing to lose, crowdfunding is a really good way to, you know, put your product out there, and especially in the creative, you know, genre, you know, with the artists, with the musicians, with animators, with video game creators. The crowdfunding is really, you know, it's taking off. You know, you see a lot of the major video games now, the independent video games that are being made, they're all done through crowdfunding now. I mean, it's the quickest way to, A, get your audience, and B, get, you know, get the funding you need within, you know, a few weeks to a few months. Because, you know, I think the maximum time you can have for a campaign, at least on Indiegogo, is 60 days.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you
would imagine with most of these projects, that's really all you need. You know, more than 60 days, the project's going to be done, and the artists are moving on to something else if this didn't, you know, light on fire. So I think that's the timeline is very interesting to me. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight we're speaking with Bill Corrales, talking about crowdfunding and specifically a project that he's working on, an animated series called Sketches. Bill, what's your official title with this program? Are you the executive producer, or where do you see yourself fitting in this crowdfunded program?
I'm actually one of the voice actors in the cartoon.
Oh, okay. So you're actually talent, not just one of those producer guys.
Yeah, I was. I've done quite a few projects with Steve, and I was kind of I was the person to kind of give him that push because I've had experience with other campaigns, and you know, I kind of let him into this, and you know, he's been glad because he's been getting a lot of, you know, a lot of nice exposure through the crowdfunding websites, and a lot of people have been excited about it. You know, he's been getting a lot of messages from people, you know, wanting to help out, wanting to spread the word, you know. It's been really good for him, but you know, again, I was just kind of that person giving him the push, but as well as there's in the program. I'm not going to spoil anything, but you know, when the episode comes out, you know, I don't even know if you'll recognize the voice. It's not this voice. I can tell you that. It's
okay. Got it. So what's next on your horizon? And let's assume that Sketches, you know, takes off and is wildly successful. Aside from that, though, what else are you working on these days, Bill?
Well, I'll actually break the news. This actually just happened today. We got contacted from a I guess, I'm not sure what's it. It's like an animation conglomerate type of thing. They're trying to do an online network. It's called Frederator, and they're the people behind you know, different animation studios who made shows like The Fairly Odd Parents and Adventure Time. They recently reached out to us, you know, wanting us to join up on their network and, you know, kind of become a part of their network as well. And, you know, we're going to be partnering up with them, you know, teaming up with a lot of their other animation studios, you know, going through, you know, their expertise, and kind of they'll be helping us out along the way as we work on the pilot episode as well. So, again, this just hit today. I don't think I should get into any more of the details aside from that, but it'll be a really nice opportunity, and we're really excited to be a part of the Frederator team. And that's gonna be pretty big, you know, pretty big because they have a nice group, a lot of talented animators, and you know, we're just glad that they saw the potential in Sketches, and Honestly, that wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for, you know, the fact that we were going through one of these crowdfunding campaigns to get our name out there. You know, that was huge. That really helped.
Nice.
Thanks.
Yeah. Congratulations.
You heard it.
That's fantastic. To be involved in animation and any time or with anything that's connected in any way with the people behind Adventure Time, that's a winner in my book and my daughter's book. I'll just tell you that right now. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
Very good.
Me personally, I absolutely love that show. I remember their pilot episode, on YouTube, floating around from back when I was when I was in college watching that. Me and my roommates were just dying laughing, like, what kind of crazy show is that? And it took off.
What kind of insane show is this that's mildly addicting and now I can't stop watching it? Yeah, that's Adventure Time. So that's fantastic. Well, congratulations on that great news. And as far as sketches, what's the best way for anyone listening today to get involved or to learn a little bit more about the project itself or the funding of the project? Where should we send folks?
Well, it's very easy. All you got to do is just hop on to Google, type in Sketches, and then you can type in Indiegogo. It'll bring you right to the Sketches Animated Series Indiegogo page. On there, you'll have links to the official YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook. There's a DeviantArt page for Stephen Chitty's studio. Right now, I think they're venturing more towards calling it Koi Pond Studios. It used to be called Constipated Samurai. So I think we're kind of venturing toward a better name, but
yeah.
Well, I think you get better Google search results with Koi Pond than Constipated Samurai.
I don't know. I think the younger generation would really get a kick out of that. I guess when I'm watching Complicated Samurai.
Yeah, but it's too easy to get hacked and redirected to something else. So, Koi Pond probably much better.
Yeah, we'd rather not get into the get anybody into trouble.
right. Excellent. Well, terrific. So everybody, do a search on Sketches and Indiegogo. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at some of the fun stuff that you see there and check it out, get involved if it looks like it's your cup of tea and Bill will be waiting for the next big adventure and once again congratulations on the news of the new project. But thanks so much for joining us tonight and talking about crowdfunding and this exciting project.
Yeah, we really appreciate you folks having me on. And like I said, there's a lot of good opportunities out there. Sometimes you just got to take a chance.
Yeah. Well,
excellent.
Thank you, Bill. It was great hearing from you. And we're, like Jack said, we're going to be anxious to hear an update here after the first of the year. So good
luck.
All
right. I'll be waiting for that peanut butter and banana sandwich. You guys take care.
Very good.
Take care of business, baby. Take care of business.
Social Geek Radio for the end of the night. Thank you so much. And Munson, I will talk to you soon. And Bill, good luck with you.
Thanks. Take care, folks.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, a podcast on franchising,